Blog Talk Radio.
What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. And our call-in number is 347-857-3293. Again, 347-857-3293. Text that number to a friend. And tonight is Tuesday, December 5th, and we want to get some housekeeping issues with regard to our calendar. As you know, for many, these are holidays coming up. It's an interesting thing. The Nazis during World War II, they always planned specific extermination campaigns of the white people who happened to be Jewish during their high holy days. Makes you think when you look at what's happening to Gaza, even as we speak tonight. Our theme tonight is Wars Are Not the Only Tools of Genocide, by the way. Homelessness can create mass genocide. Sanctions are creating the conditions for genocide. What must we do? Well, as I started to say, we're going to do some housekeeping issues. One of our issues is that there are some people who will, for whatever reason, be celebrating holidays. And so after December, let me get this date right now. After December 20th, we will not be having another program We will be featuring some reruns until January 9th, because after December, the 19th, the next Tuesday is the 26th. That's the day after what some people call Christmas, December 26th. And January 2nd is the day after New Year's, and many people will be traveling from where or to where on that date as well. So we will, our last broadcast, live broadcast, will be December 19th, and we will be returning on January 9th, because we recognize that some people, these are days when they try to contact their relatives. As we said before, wars are not the only tools of genocide. Homelessness can create mass genocide. Sanctions, such as what's happening to Cuba, are creating the conditions for genocide. What must we do? So without further ado, because we do discuss the anatomy of oppression, in other words, what are the arms and legs and necks and brains of oppression? And you can't discuss oppression without talking about what colonialism is. Colonialism, who is in charge? Who's controlling your life? And finally, it's an anatomy of the American capitalist system. You can't talk about colonialism or imperialism today without talking about the American empire. So without further ado, we hope that our comrade, Ralph Pointer, is able to join us this evening. And some of you who know of his recent issues with health are saying, what in the world is he doing getting on? Well, the political prisoners who are in the death camps, they can't decide what they're going to do from night to night. And none of us are free until all of them are free. That's why he's getting on. Comrade Ralph Pointer, welcome. Your mic is open. What's happening?
No problem.
You're on.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. As you have heard the introduction, America is the capital of constant destruction. And today we see, we are able to visualize on our television screens what that looks like. Constant destruction. Just a piece of it. And as Sister Betty has told us, come back with ideas because of action, ideas of action, because those in the death camps cannot do what we in the big prison, as was said, we're all in prison, some in little prisons, some in middle-sized prisons, and we are here in the big prison. What can we do? What are your thoughts on this constant destruction of imperialism and capitalism? That's a big word, imperialism. That is to take other people's resources, use them for yourself without consideration as to who is the beneficiary of these resources. And so, with that said, we're going to turn the program back to our Sister Betty, who will introduce people with ideas and struggles, who have been in the struggle for 50 or more years. Sister Betty, the microphone is yours.
Well, thank you, and Brother Ralph, thank you for encouraging us with your unstoppable determination to free all political prisoners, as you did, Sister Lynn. So without further ado, we always start, when we honor her, with poetry. And recently, we have been asking Julia Rice, because we know where she is. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, to grace us with her gift and her talent with words. And Professor Louie will follow immediately afterwards. And we cannot thank Professor Louie enough for understanding. Sister Julia,
thank
you.
Thank you, Professor Louie. Thank you. A very brief poem, and then an idea, but not an idea from me, an idea from Amidka Cabral. The poem, AI for Apartheid Intelligence. AI recognizes at least some of us, tries to predict our criminal record, and would even write our poems given the chance. For us, robots cook and dance. And now, AI, apartheid intelligence, chooses who to bomb for our tax dollars, prompting the U.S. Secretary of Defense to paper the PR cracks by suggesting just a trifle more pro-civilian elegance. Really? So, in the same sudden spirit of artificially intelligent concern, where are the tiny robots who, in the place of Gaza's children, will be targeted to die? This year is the 50th anniversary of Amidka Cabral's assassination. He was assassinated on the 20th of January, 1973. 10 years before his death, Cabral wrote a message to the soldiers, sergeants, and officers of the Portuguese colonial army, a message which resonates today when we see how the IDF of Israel is comfortable bombing Gaza, but much less comfortable with the man-to-man combat which ground warfare implies. Simply, they are afraid. So Cabral's call to Portuguese soldiers, asking them to turn their guns around or desert or leave, rings as if it was written yesterday. Simply replace the word Portuguese by IDF. Here is the end of the message, and I quote Cabral, refuse to serve as instruments of colonialism, disobey the order to take up arms against the freedom and independence of a peaceful people. Be courageous, refuse to fight our people. Don't willingly serve as watchdogs of the unjust interests of the colonialist monopolies. These are not your interests, nor those of your peoples. Don't willingly accept the lot of your compatriots who have fallen ingloriously at the service of an unjust and lost cause. Revolt against your fascist and colonialist rulers who order you to your death. Follow the example of your courageous comrades who refused to fight on our land, who revolted against the criminal orders of your leaders, who cooperate with our party and who abandoned the colonial army and found in our midst the best reception and fraternal aid. Demand your immediate return to rejoin your families in Portugal. Long live peace, friendship, and cooperation among all peoples. Down with Portuguese colonialism and all its lackeys. And I want to thank John Catilanotto of Workers' World for his translation of Cabral's message and for his own book called Turn the Guns Around, published in 2017. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Betty.
Did you want to make a comment before we go to Professor Louis, Brother Ralph?
We all know the name, Cabral, but we can't ever hear his message often enough. So thank you so much, Julia Wright. And we should hear that. If we can't hear it every minute, we should hear it every hour. If we can't hear it every hour, we should hear it every day. And if we can't hear it every day, we should hear it every month, because it is the question of man's inhumanity or humanity to man. Sister Betty.
Thank you, comrade. Without further ado, we're going to go to our poet in residence in the house, always with us, in honor of Sister Lynn, Professor Louis. Your mic is open.
Dear Mama, I had to write you a letter. I'm getting along here, but it's kind of hard. Sometimes I'll be thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard. How's the family? I send you all my love. Give little sister a kiss for me. At night in my cell, I see your faces. You're the good times of my memory. And I hope everybody is doing okay. Please come up and see me sometime. Some people here are crazy and ugly, but there's a whole lot whose case is like mine. And I don't mean to say I didn't do nothing. I used some dope and I sold some too. But you know, I never really hurt nobody. I was just trying to make it. What else is new? And it's true. I didn't think about the people I sold to. I wasn't thinking what dope can do. It felt like a race and I was running. I tried to win a little before I was through, and I had a little money before it was over. I had some nice clothes. Hey, I was the Mac. I had me a car, and I had some girlfriends, and I spent some money I will never give back. But one day, you know, the cops pulled me over. It wasn't even for something that I did. I must have looked just like what I was, nothing but a dope-dealing wise guy kid. And I had a nice piece of rock in my pocket. Quiet as it's kept, it wasn't that well hid. They smacked me around up the side of my head and threw me down in handcuffs for what I had did. The judge was unhappy and I had no money. The district attorney, he felt the same. He said the law was here for a reason. A crime was committed and I was to blame. So they sent me up for 5 years in prison, possibility of parole in 3, and here in my cell in the first week, Mama, a big prison guard tried to abuse me. He had a club and I had a work shoe. You know, I had to defend myself. If you don't, they all come and run a train on you. They drag your butt right off the shelf. I got beat pretty bad, but I hurt him too. The judge, he gave me 5 more years. trouble came down and rained all around me. It feels like a lifetime I'm doing here. I bowed my head and I cried for days. I couldn't believe it happened to me. There was no way out from the hole where they put me. I cursed every single face I could see. But there's a guy up here. They call him Big Time. He talks to me, Mama, now and then. Out in the yard, they call him the preacher. Everybody listens to him. He says rich people, they pay with money. He says poor people, we pay with time. He says big people already decided how they get theirs, and I get mine. So I found out everything's not all my fault. I know when I'm wrong, I got to take the blame. But some of us got the whole deck stacked against us. I know I was born just a pawn in the game. So I got old fast. Now I'm older and wiser. I don't want to let the bitterness in. I'm starting to learn about the world around me. I was born to lose, but I plan to win. I don't want to believe in the things that I used to, that life is dirty, nasty, and short, that I got to be for me and me only, and that every single body can be sold and bought. Because you see, by now, I got a few friends here. We talk to each other, keep from going insane. They watch my back, and they know who I am. I'm not just a number. Now I'm a name, and I found out it's not just the clothes that you're wearing, the car you drive, or something like that. I found out it's really the way that you're feeling. It's what you got inside. That's where it's really at. So, Mama, please don't worry about me. Just know that I'm doing the best that I can. Time passes slow. There's madness around me, and I'm trying to be just who I am. One day I know we'll all be together. Tell everybody to wait for me. One day these walls will no longer surround me. It's over the mountaintops I'm going to see. Because this jail is no use for the guards or the prisoners. It's no use for you out there paying the bill. When you think your enemy is your own children, you pay for the bullets. But it's you who get killed, because this is the world you make all around me. This is what's waiting for your very own kid. Lock us in cages like beasts in a big zoo and act like it's something good that you did. So, Mama, I think that's all I could tell you. What you get is what you see. It's vicious up here, and my time is so long. Maybe someday you'll be proud of me. And, Mama, you know I had to write you this letter. I'm getting along here, but it's kind of hard. Sometimes I'll be thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard. Yes, sometimes I'm thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard.
Okie dokie. That is a spice, a piece of life that we, many of us, have had to suffer through. And it puts it very clear where we must go. Sister Betty.
I want to remind you something Ralph once told me. Lynn said to him, and he got tired one night and says, listen, you know, I can't, go to this political prisoner event. So Lynn says, well, I've got an idea. Why don't you trade places with them? Let them come out here and you go inside there. And for those of you who don't understand, we still got political prisoners behind the bars in these death camps. And every day that they're there, I feel more and more ashamed. The program tonight was requested of Ralph Pointer by Women Against Genocide. They wanted us to do something to call attention to the fact that sanctions cause death. Death can lead to genocide. They're specifically referring to Cuba, that there's medicines that Cuba can't acquire, foods that Cuba can't acquire, and the cost to the people of Cuba because of American sanctions. So we are following through with what our community expected of us. And I salute all of you who are on the call tonight. Without further ado, again, Professor Louis, we thank you. I want to also call your attention to tomorrow's program on WBAI, which is another request. As you know, many of you, of Mandela organization, sponsoring people's synods all over the United States. And so tomorrow's program is dedicated to that struggle and to one of our warriors who coined the phrase, we are our own liberators. I'm referring to none other than Jalil Montekin. Brother Montekin will be on with Comrade Madison, who has been our guest, a college student from New York City, who is with the Black Alliance for Peace. And these two comrades will be talking about how we build the People's Senate. And our rallying cry is no more slavery or forced prison labor. No more wars on the people at home or abroad. So I hope you'll join us on WBAI tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and join the discussion by calling in as well. So without further ado, I want to continue this discussion, and I want to go to some of the people in the House from Jericho who might want to tell you more about the People's Senate or just tell you about why we should be freeing our political prisoners. So Ohio Jericho is in the House. Your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, good to be able to speak, and that was a very powerful poem from we just heard, just really powerful. I want to certainly listen to and follow up on the main thrust of the program tonight, but I got to say, I just have to say that what's happening right now today, this moment in Gaza, is just pure genocide. Let's just remember, and I'll just make this very brief, the way that the American, you know, capitalist media and the U.S. government and everybody else, the Zionist government in the state of Israel, occupied Palestine is what it really is, was saying that the people of Gaza should go to the south, that they were bombing and just shooting and just blowing up the whole north. So the people headed south, some, about a million. And what are they doing right now today? Just look at the American news, and we know that there's a lot of distortion and lies involved, but the American news itself is talking about the Zionist government right now is attacking the south, attacking exactly where they told the Palestinian people to go, and now they're bombing and killing and just murdering them. So I just can't not say something about that as it's happening, even as we're talking about these important matters right now. So with that said, let me just let me pass it on. But let's do remember that our political prisoners, many of them have been in captivity for decades. All of them have been in captivity for some years. Many have been in captivity for decades. Longer than many listeners today have been alive, these comrades have been in those death camps, but surviving, educating, teaching, organizing, never stopping any of that. And so we must certainly not only remember them, but work to do everything we can to free them or at least support them in whatever way we can. That, let me just pass it on.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to call attention to the fact that war is really not the only form of genocide. There's genocide going on in Niger. There's genocide going on in Yemen. There's genocide going on in Haiti. And so we have to be aware the cost of colonialism and the cost of imperialism. And right now, we're being faced with all kinds of death camps. One of them is Cop City. And what do the people have to fight against this? Well, we've got Jericho. We've got people who are experienced warriors in fighting against oppression and fighting against colonialism. And one of the things, as I said, the Spirit of Mandela organization is trying to do is to get the people organized. And one of the ways they do this is by having a People's Senate. So we've got somebody in the House. Brother Tag, your mic is open. Can you help us out here?
Peace, peace. Happy to discuss what's going on with the People's Senate right now, and greatly appreciate the opportunity to do so. And so, as you say, you know, it's a full court press on the genocide for profit system that they've constructed out here in the belly of the beast. And so when you're naming these different locations where genocide is ongoing, you know, one of those threads that connects all of those is this creature, this imperial creature out here that is keeping the genocide moving on all of these different fronts. So I would like to name a few activities that the People's Senate is involved with right now coming up. I would first like to name December 9th, as we know, is always for Philly especially, but for the entire world of heads that recognize the enormous contribution of our dear comrade, Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. December 9th is always an extremely significant date for the Mumia movement, and this year is no exception. And there will be a virtual rally taking place on December 9th in honor of Mumia and to continue the ongoing efforts to bring him home. And as part of those activities, we will be screening the special feature that About the People, the broadcasting arm of Spirit of Mandela, as connected to the People's Senate, About the People's most recent audiovisual effort is about Mumia. It's called Who is Mumia? And it's a short special feature of about 23 minutes, which is a portion of a longer installment that About the People will be dropping soon. So that's December 9th, a virtual rally. And please hit up bringmumiahome.com for more information on that. The flyer is circulating for the virtual rally. And then on December 10th, there will be a card writing for our political prisoners and prisoners of war. And that will be both in person at Woodbine, which is in Queens. Technically, it's kind of in that between space of Ridgewood. So it's very near to Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn/Queens. The spot is called Woodbine. And comrades will be out there, among other things, writing cards and letters to our political prisoners and prisoners of war inside of these dungeons, which is, of course, an essential part of this work. And so that will be taking place again at Woodbine, as well as virtually. And that's December 10th. And then on December 16th, we will be having a welcome home celebration at Maisel's Cinema in Harlem. And that will also include the special feature that I mentioned on Mumia. So I'm happy to pause there to make sure that's coming through clearly, and I'm down to, you know, furnish any further particulars as needed. But I know that's a lot of particulars already, so I want to just pause for a second there.
Well, I thank you for that announcement. If you're able to hang in there, you can do it again toward the end of the program. If not, we understand you're holding up many walls here. You play a major role with the Spirit of Mandela, and we honor you for that, and we thank you. We're going to go to another Jericho. Brother Tag, did you want to say something else?
No, just full honor to y'all, and I'm happy to stay on. I'll be on to repeat any of those and to elaborate. Much respect.
Thank you. I want to remind you that Women Against Genocide requested that we do something to call attention as we are looking at the destruction of a people in Gaza. We want to hold up the fact that this is a mini-armed monster. And at the same time that they are doing this to the people of Gaza, they are doing similar forms of genocide, us at home who are homeless, and to those in Cuba who are the victims of sanctions. Without further ado, New York Jericho is in the house, and we can always count on them to fill in any of the empty spaces I have not completed. Sister Ann, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph. Always good to be in your company, even if it's virtually. Yes, very interesting stuff going on. I just wanted to say that genocide is happening not only in Gaza, it's happening also in the West Bank. So it's happening throughout all of Palestine. People in the West Bank are also being slaughtered by settlers and the occupation forces, and also being massively imprisoned. Well, since we were speaking about December 9th and Lumia and all political prisoners, because there will be a lot of people being represented at that event, we have a lovely statement from one of our former political prisoners, Sister Ramona Africa, about Lumia, which I think is very important. John Africa's MOVE organization has been fighting for Mumia Abu Jamal's freedom since the day of his arrest, December 9, 1981, on a made-up charge of murder, which is a lie made worse because of their attempts to kill him before the truth is revealed, exposing them. This corrupt system has a history of either jailing, beating, or killing those who stand up for freedom, who fight for life, all life, including yours and mine. John Africa's MOVE organization has not given up, and they are telling you not to give up either. Don't let their criminal actions deter you, like the last hearing Mumia had in front of a black female judge named Clemens, who ignored the truth of Mumia's innocence and the evidence proving his innocence, and instead supported lies about Mumia and continued the violation of his innocence. Do not let race or sex fool you. This system's so-called law officials are just as corrupt, deceiving, and murderous as the cops who are killing citizens with no regard for right or wrong. We need to push harder for Mumia, as he is an example of what can happen to any of us, so fight on for his life and your own. Mumia put his freedom and his life on the line for all of us by speaking the truth about police abuse against the people, and MOVE in particular. It's up to us to support him in his time of need for the sacrifices he has made for all of us. We've got to fight on for his release, not later, right now. You can start right now by putting pressure on D.A. Krasner, who has the authority to release Mumia right now. Call 215-86-8000 or email justice@phila.gov and write to 3 South Penn Square, Philadelphia, PA, 19107. It is urgent for us to fight harder for Mumia's release because, one, he is innocent, and also because they are trying to medically assassinate him within the prison at Mahanoy. Fight as you would for your mother, your sister, your father, your son, your brother, your daughter, because Mumia is all these things, all family. Long live John Africa, Ramona Africa, Minister of Communications for the MOVE organization. On the MOVE.
On the MOVE. It's
a very important message, you know, because it's true. Mumia is innocent. He's been in prison for 42 years, like Jan was saying. No people have been down since, you know, forever. I can also say on December 9th, we will also have people speaking on behalf of Kamal Siddiqui, Ed Poindexter, Reverend Joy Powell, Imam Jamil Alameen, Lorenza Bowers, Leonard Peltier. Hopefully we'll hear from Kevin Rashid Johnson himself. We will have updates from Palestine, a special Palestinian musical performance, and updates from the Palestinian Freedom Fighters as well. All of this on December 9th from 2 to 5 p.m. EST. Just putting it up now on jerichony.org. Live stream link to the YouTube is there. Looking forward to seeing everybody on the 9th. See them all.
That's the call. Free them all. Sister Betty. Did you hear that? Sister Betty.
I understand Comrade Cierto is in the house. I understand he's also having some technical difficulties. We ask everyone to be a little patient. Comrade Cierto, your mic is open.
Yes, good evening. Uhuru, everyone. The 10 stages of genocide. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Loud and clear.
Good. Now, this is a formula that we all know definitely works. It's been done for a few generations. Stage one is classification. The differences between people are not respected. Stage two, symbolization. This is a visual manifestation of hatred of those very people by the dominant colonial colonizer. Stage three, discrimination. The dominant group denies civil rights or even citizenship to the very people who are being genocided. Stage four, dehumanization. Those perceived as different are treated with no form of human rights or dignity. Stage five, we all know this formula to be true. We've seen it time and again. Organization. Genocides are always planned regimes of hatred, often towards those who go on to carry out the destruction of a people. That's organization. Stage six, polarization. Propaganda begins to be spread by hate groups. Stage seven, preparation. Perpetrators plan the genocide. They often use euphemisms such as those people, they use the N-word, they use those, in this case, Palestinians, they're lying constantly as they build the narrative themselves. Just like Brother Jaleel mentioned, this was a preordained, a pre-scripted genocide by the United States government, along with the UN and with Israel, giving $6 billion to Israel from the onset and then sending the military out there in the waters to thwart off any opposition from Iran or other nations that are against what's going on with Palestine. Stage eight, persecution. Victims are identified because of their ethnicity or religion. Stage nine, extermination. The hate group murders their identified victims in a deliberate and systemic campaign of violence. We're seeing it on and on and on. Stage 10, the denial. This is the media. This is the state. The perpetrators or later generations deny the existence of any crime, deny any existence of having ever done wrong, just like I heard today on their news broadcast. Christianity gives them the right. God has given them the right to do what they do because they want to keep others in the mindset of democracy. What is that? Nothing but propaganda, correct? So we move on to events. I want to read a short piece by Ward Churchill. The genocide of peoples indigenous to the United States portion of North America proceeded along different tracks, each defined by the policies of the colonial power pursuing it. The colonization began in 1607 when England's Jamestown colonists arrived in present-day Virginia with instructions to settle the already heavily populated coastal area. Beginning in 1830, the United States undertook a policy of removing all native people from the area east of the Mississippi River in a series of internments and thousands of miles forced marches which followed. You see this 1,000-mile forced marches that's happening in Palestine where they said, well, go here, you'll be safe. But when they get there, they're being bombed. In the series of internments again, and 1,000-mile forced marches which followed, entire peoples were decimated. The Cherokees, for instance, suffered 50% fatalities during the Trail of Tears. The Choctaws, the Chickasaws, Seminoles, and Creeks, 25 to 35% of peace. That's a huge annihilation of a mass of people. That's man's inhumanity to man. That's man's disrespect to man, just like using the word vermin or using the N-word to demean or using those Indians, as they call them, not Native Indigenous people. No respect. No respect. But want all the respect because what? The point of the gun and the power. So I say that in essence to say that definitely the world is going to have to be a collective force to offset this butcher. And I believe it's going to happen. I see that young folks are coming up now. I'm looking at it worldwide as we all are, and people are not blind anymore. I want to raise an event that's coming up this week, and that'll be Saturday, December the 9th. Anti-Semitism, a weapon in the war against anti-colonial free speech. That's what this represents. Saturday, I'm going to give you this website, tinyurl.com/Africa Palestine. tinyurl.com/Africa Palestine, all one word. Finally, you do know that today that the Tampa 5 copped a plea. And in that plea, I'm going brief on this because you can look this up yourself. USF protesters known as the Tampa 5 reached an agreement to avoid a trial. Members of the group will complete community service. The Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office announces. So we know that terrorism and demeaning is the mainstay of genocide. You spoke of the homelessness, the demeaning of homeless people, as if they have no agency, is what is perpetrated by this force of what I call imbeciles, because we are all human, and we all, whatever culture, deserve the right to live. When this planet was made, it was made for all. So I stand with you there, and I say that I appreciate you listening to what I've read. It's a scientific practice that's been tried and true, from Sudan to the Congo to the Native Indigenous here. We here who are afraid for a lot of reasons to separate. And I know that we must separate and create our own agency. With that, I'm going to say Uhuru.
Uhuru, Brother Sierra, and thank you. At this time, I want to open up. Brother Ralph, did you want to comment?
No, I didn't.
All right, Sister Ann, I'm wondering if you can give us a little bit of an update on the status of Brother Fierro mentioned the political prisoners in Gaza. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more. I know Jericho, New York, has been publishing articles about the status of political prisoners in Gaza.
Were you speaking to me?
Yes.
Yes, I was actually watching or listening while working today to an excellent webinar that was done by people in Palestine, including Adam Meir, that does work around the Palestinian political prisoners, all about the Palestinian political prisoners. And I just sent it out on the listserv. But we do have other news about the Palestinian political prisoners, so give me a sec to locate it.
All right. I also want to make people aware that Afia Sadiq, she's one of the political prisoners that Sister Lynn tried to reach out to and was in solidarity with. when she was being tortured in the prison. Sister Wynn tried to get the word out to the world in the community. We've just received, I've been seeing emails, her health is being challenged. Without further ado, I also, while Sister Ann is picking up on that article, I want to ask Brother Tag if he'd like to give us those dates again before we start winding down. Brother Tag, your mic is open, and thank you for waiting.
Absolutely. Greatly appreciated, comrade, and another extremely valuable, invaluable broadcast out here, just staying up on what's happening. So we have the December 19th virtual program. That is the Free Mumia Abu Jamal program. We're doing, annually out here, of course, in honor of the frame-up of that revolutionary journalist and veteran Panther. So the virtual program for Saturday, December 9th, will be 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And we heard some of the heads who will be repped there, and that's going to be a very strong program as ever, and we're looking at 42 years since this brother was framed up unlawfully. So that's, again, Saturday, December 9th, and that's online, 2 to 5 p.m. You can register for that at tinyurl.com/letmumia out, and all three of those words start with capital letters, tinyurl.com/LLet(MMumia)OUT. Then the next day, December 10th, from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, will be the Love Through the Walls political prisoner of war holiday card writing. And that is hosted primarily by Resistance in Brooklyn, which holds these December holiday card writings every year. And there will be a special guest presentation from Riham Barghouti of Adela, New York, the founder, Adela, New York. And there we will also be continuing to discuss and build the People's Senate here in the Northeast region and overall outside out here in the domestic colonies and the external colonies in genocidal imperialist U.S. December 16th, which is a Saturday, December 16th, that evening we're having our Welcome Home celebration, which will start with a screening of the special feature that I mentioned by About the People, which is a part of Spirit of Mandela, which is a part of building the People's Senate. So About the People has a new special feature on Mumia called Who is Mumia? We'll be screening that. And then for the rest of the night, we will be celebrating our comrades who have come home recently. And this comes out of regular Welcome Home events that we've had historically as part of the Stop the Raids NYC. But we wanted to, this year, open it up to include the myriad comrades that we have who are now home, who have come home in these past few years where, you know, this outbreak has disrupted our capacity to welcome our comrades home. So we want to open it up, have it be more expansive. It's going to be at the Maysales Cinema, which is 343 Malcolm X Boulevard in Harlem. So that's 343 Malcolm X Boulevard. It's right there on Lenox in Harlem. And we're going to be opening up the doors around 7 for that so that we could start the screening and then celebrate for the rest of the night. And that, again, will be December 16th. And that's the People's Senate Northeast is hosting that at Maysales. We're repping a number of our comrade organizations like Y Accountability, NYSC Jericho, and many others. So there's still time. If you're organizing in the city or thereabouts, if you want to get up with us, want to be a part of building the People's Senate, please hit us up. You can find us at spiritofmandela1@gmail.com. And spiritofmandela.org is the website. You can find out all the information you need about building the People's Senate. We have a calendar on there with these and a number of other activities coming up. And we welcome anyone who has events. Please hit us up on spiritofmandela.org and add your event to our calendar so that we can further organize and coordinate around all of this vital work that so many heads are doing, and make sure that our calendars are aligned so that we're coordinating and moving forward to continue to strike pivotal blows at this genocidal monster.
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Ms. Davis?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Betty?
Right. Sorry, Sister Ann, could you go, please?
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Before we go to Mamiya's war against the fleas, we're going to go home with Mamiya's statement. But, Sister Ann,
oh,
you were going to talk about the political prisoners.
Yes, I would say one place you can always go, which is Palestinian organizations been writing, you know, supporting the Palestinian prisoners for a long time. It's Adameer, ADDAMEER.org. And we do have, I'll be as brief as possible because what Mamiya has to say is very important. Released Palestinians reveal the horrors in Israeli prisons. These are the people who were just recently released in the exchange. So detainees gave testimonies on how Israeli prison authorities subjected them to food deprivation, medical negligence, regular beatings, and menacing threats aimed at them and their families. Despite many of the prisoners being released from different prisons across historic Palestine with no way of communicating with one another prior to their release, their accounts have been consistent. All right, so a total of 240 Palestinian prisoners were released as part of this deal, which was 107 children, 65 teens, 18 and older, and 68 women. And the majority of them had never been charged with a crime, because they were held under what they call administrative detention. They can hold you indefinitely without charging you with anything. So six Palestinians have died in Israeli prison custody since 7th of October, which is the highest number of cases reported in such a short time period in decades. The UN said that testimonies it has collected appear consistent with numerous pictures and video clips published in recent weeks on social media by Israeli soldiers depicting abuse and humiliation of Palestinians. Palestinian detainees have also reported being threatened with rape. Released Palestinians detailed how Israeli prison guards beat them regularly. Teenager Mohammed Nazr was released in the fourth batch of exchanges with broken arms and fingers. He had received no medical treatment. Nazr from Kabatiya, a town near the northern West Bank city of Jenin, describes how Israeli prison guards enter the cell he shared with other Palestinians for a head count. Prisoners wanted to place their hands on their heads, but when Israeli jailers didn't get the response immediately, they started to beat him on his head, back, and arms. I spent a week suffering, bedridden on the mattress, he explained, adding that fellow prisoners fed him and helped him drink water. He had no medical treatment. He was not taken to a clinic. He said the guards returned later and beat prisoners again, leaving some bleeding from their faces. It turned into a battlefield for them against us. They entered with the intention to kill, wielding metal batons that they bent on us. So that's just a little part of it, but you can see that this is really serious, serious stuff. But I really want to hear Mumia's war against the fleas.
All right. I want to thank everyone who was on tonight. I hope my
transmission... Perhaps Israel's most respected statesman, former diplomat, Abba Iban, once said, "Nobody does Israel any service by proclaiming its right to exist." That was then, in 1981, the now, a new era, a time of Israel's swing to its far right wing. Now it is once again a time of war. But to say it's a war of Hamas versus Israel is somewhat disingenuous. For there has been a war between Palestine and Israel for at the very least 75 years and at most a century. And this is not a war around religion or between faiths or gods. It's a war for that which is no longer being produced, land. Kudos to the authors of the Except for Palestine text, The Limits of Progressive Politics, Mark Lamont Hill and Mitchell Plitnick. Their book, Using History Instead of Myths, shows how the Palestinians received the exceptions to the rules, while Zionists got every break. They show the emergence of the rightist Likud party and the ideas proposed by Zev Jabotinsky. They led right to this moment in Israeli history of war and iron walls.
And on that note, we're going to say good evening. Brother Ralph, did you want to make some closing comments?
Yes, please. We are witnessing a tragedy that we have not witnessed in 2,000 years. And tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio, and we will continue discussion. Good night, my brothers and sisters.